You're listening to Amud v'Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Shabbos Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We are starting at the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom. Yeah, Tashma Parsim Achatzos. Yeah, okay. So we are we have a few different shitas that we were trying to work with over the last Amud and a half or so. First with Rabba, then Rav Yosef. And then Rav Yitzchak, trying to understand their approaches to situations with Muktza, and in particular explaining the case with the oil dripping, and then the chicken with the egg, and now we are so this is in a series of challenges, in particular to Rav Yitzchak, right? And Rav Yitzchak's shita. Just want to see where does he mention it? So Rav Yitzchak says earlier, he says Kishem Shein Nosin Kli Tachas Tarnagelos LeKabel Beitzasa Kach In Kofin Aleha Kli V'Shvil Shelo Tishaver, right? And because he holds his shita is Kesavar Ein Kli Nitel El LeDavar Anitel B'Shabbes, that a kli can only be not only is a muksa item something that is forbidden to move, but you can't even move a non-mukta item for the purpose of a mukta item, this is not the first time we've seen the shita, right? Rabba says the shita as well, but his extra chumra of Rabba is that there's no dispensation made for protecting some sort of common financial loss, right? So if there's some sort of hatsala, so Rabba says if it's a hatsala that's mitsuya, then it's okay, right? If it's something that's a common loss, then that's okay. We will we'll be more makel. But Rav Yitzchak has this chumra of you cannot take a mukta item, you can't move a mukta item for the purpose of a non mukta item, even if there's a loss. And now in the series, we're trying to explain these cases, how they line up with his shita. And each one, or most of them, he's demonstrating why they wouldn't be muksa for other reasons. So we gave the cases of the mats on avonim, right, or on ishtuyer binyan me binyana, right? So like rocks or leftover bricks. So why are you allowed to take a mat and cover these muksa items with it to protect them? They're muksa. You're taking this non-muksa item. And the answer is because he explains, no, these items are not muksa. These stones have a purpose. They could be used for the bathroom. And these bricks can be sat upon. So that's not a contradiction to this halacha in general, which is shita. So now here's another one of covering. Toshma porsin machatzelos al gabe kivaris. You're allowed to spread out mats over a beehive. Kivaris devorim, right? A hive of bees. B'Shabbos, obviously. B'chama b'nei hachama b'gshava b'nei hagashamim. In the sun, because the sun, meaning you're putting the mat over in the sun to protect it, the beehive, from the sun. Also, for the rain, because of the rain, right? So whether it's raining or it's very sunny, whatever reason you might want to cover the beehive with a mat, you are allowed to put the mat over it. As long as you don't have kavana to do tzad, which is trapping, which is one of the 39 malachos. So over here, the beehive is presumably mukzeh, right? Because, you know, it has, bees are mukzeh, living creatures are mukzeh. And there bees are in a beehive. So therefore, the whole thing, it would be probably a basis, for the bees. And therefore, it should be mukzeh. So why would Rav Yitzchak allow you to move a mat and cover up this beehive? So Hachav Mayaskinos, what are we dealing with over here? De'ika Dvash. Well, there's honey in it. If there is honey in this beehive, then the beehive is no longer muktzeh, because it's a basis for Devar Mutter and Devar Aser. Since now the beehive is not muktzeh due to the honey that's in it that you could use, covering it with a mat would not be a problem. Amarle Rav Ukva Mimeshan Ravashi. Rav Ukva of Meshan asked to Ravashi, so Tina Yemosachama. So that makes sense in the Yemosachama, in the sunny season, right? However, right, Deika Dvash, right? Because in the summer there is Dvash in the beehives. But if in the winter time when apparently beehives don't really have honey in them, I guess they took it. People have taken it all out. What is there to say? Then right, we said over here in the Mosa or in the Geshamim and in the Chama, whether it's sun or rain, which we assume to mean whether it's the summer or it's the winter. This is a year long halacha that you're allowed to cover it up, but that's not true because a beehive during certain seasons is actually mukta because the honey is taken out of it. So lo nitzricha el lo'osan shtei chalos. Nah, it's still necessary for those two chalos. Over here, chalos means honeycombs. Kol kiveres osin osa hadvorim, says Rashi. Chalos chalos shel tzapiches dvash v'shava. Right, basically, when people take out the basically when people take out honey, but in the winter season they'll still leave two honeycombs in there for the bees to be misparnes on them. The bees will I guess eat their own honey. So even when you take out the honey, you still in the winter you'll still leave in those two honeycombs, and because of those two honeycombs, even in the winter the beehive remains not mukta, and therefore, even according to Rav Yitzchak, he'd be able to cover it with a mat. Hold on. But if those two chalos are automatically left there for the bees to have, then that means that they're essentially mukta. They are set aside for you not to be eating it. Therefore, the beehive is holding bees and basically non-usable honeycombs. So why would the beehive be not mukta? So the Gemara responds, "Dechoshev alayhu." It's where he was thinking about them, right? Meaning he had intended to take them eventually. Me'esmo lechila, says Rashi, that the other day he was planning on, like, I know I left them for the bees, but me want honeycomb, and I'm gonna try to get those the honeycomb tomorrow. So even though they're technically in there, but he was mindful about it and he wants to take it, and that's what that Brisa was talking about. Okay. So hello. So dechashiv layhu. So ha lo chashiv layhu mai. So what would be the case then if he wasn't machshiv it, if he wasn't considering taking it, what would the halacha be? Aser? You're saying it would be aser? Ihachi hadatani ubilva shalis kavin letsud liflog velisna velisna, right? So. But that's going to be a little bit problematic because that sounds like a significant qualifier to mention, especially when we put another qualifier in here, right? Because we say, let's just get ahead to read this, right? So halochashiv alai so ihachi hadatani ubil vachleis kavin letsud liflog velisni bidida, right? That. We taught this qualifier of you should be, but this is only if you don't have kavanah to trap it. So liflug, we should be mechalek and teach the following: b'med dvarim amurim kishachishev alehem, avalochishev alehem aser. Meaning that the Mishnah, this Brisa was not afraid to be mechalek and give the qualifier of b'med dvarim amurim, and then we say or ubil vache shalois kavin letsud. We said. Right, not always can you cover up the beehive. It's only if you don't have intention to trap them. Right, to be careful not to trap them. But we should have said, right, if we're going to qualify, then we should qualify fully, and we should say, and also, you have to make sure that you had intended to take the honeycombs from the day before. But if you didn't, then you wouldn't be able to do that. But we're strangely not mechalek. So what's it coming to teach us? That even if he was considering taking them, he nevertheless, even if you had intended to take them the next day, you still have to make sure that you're careful. Meaning, even if the muksa question is sidestep, you still need to make sure that you are not going to trap them. So that's what it's saying. It's saying both of these qualifications. Mani. But now we're gonna have a little bit of a problem, because it's gonna be hard to peg which Tana between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that is this Mishnah going according to. Rabbi Shimon lesle muktza. Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So let's just explain this quickly. So this lesle muktza, we mentioned it a couple of times already. I don't know if the Rav might have mentioned it yesterday also, but when we say lesle muktza, literally it means that Rav Shimon doesn't hold of muktza, but that's not true. He holds there's a din of muktza. He just doesn't agree with the broad application of muktza, and there are many machlokas within muktza and certain principles and chumras of muktza that Rabbi Yehuda is machmir for and Rav Shimon is mekel about. And we're even going to see a couple of them today. And one of them is this principle itself of not taking a kli and using it for a davar, a kli that's mutter, and not taking it for a davar muktza. That's a Rabbi Yehuda din. Rabbi Shimon doesn't apply that. He doesn't hold of that. So that's going to be one difference. There are other areas where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon disagree, and Rabbi Shimon is the mekel in regards to Hilchos Shabbos. One we're going to see in this very piece right here, which is Davar Sheina Miskaven, right? And we saw 2 days ago of Melacha Sheina Shricha Legufa. In all of these cases, Rabbi Yehuda is machmir and Rabbi Shimon is mekel. But right now, in just talking the muksa case, So Mani, who is this? Rabbi Shimon lisle muktza. If it's Rabbi Shimon, he wouldn't apply muktza to this case, because he would say, listen, the mat is muktza. So yeah, the beehive is muktza, but the mat is not, and you can cover it. So clearly this is not Rabbi Shimon. This is definitely not Rabbi Shimon Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda, though, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, kilo miskavin mayhavi. Why does the Mishnah say, oh, be careful, make sure you don't have kavanah to trap it? Rabbi Yehuda holds that Davar Sheina Miskaven is Aser. When it says, oh, and make sure you have the kafana not to trap it, it seems like we're saying that you can totally do an action that will trap it, but just be careful about your kavana. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care about your kavana. He says if you do an act, it's a Davar Sheino Miskaven, I'm doing an act and my intention is not to trap it. My intention is merely to protect it from the sun or trap the bees. It's not to trap the bees, it's to protect it from the sun or from the rain. So Rabbi Yehuda will still say, that's still a problem. That's Davar Sheina Miskaven, that's Aser. So it says, okay, you're allowed to cover it with a mat, muk the question aside, but just be careful that you don't have kavanah to trap it. Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't say that. Rabbi Yehuda would say, I don't care where your kavanah is. If you're trapping, you're trapping it. So how could that be? Right, the question makes sense. Yeah. So regarding muktza, it seems like it's definitely not Rabbi Shimon. But regarding this Davar Sheina Miskaven, it seems like it's not Rabbi Yehuda. So who's the author of this Mishnah? So the old Rabbi Yehuda, really, this is Rabbi Yehuda. My ubilvat shlo yiskaven litzod. So what does that mean? That you have to be careful. Don't have kavana to trap it. What does that mean? It's Shelo yaasena kimitsuda, that you shouldn't make it to be like a trap. Delishbok lahu revacha, that you should leave over for it some revach, some space for them to get out. Meaning, it's not be careful about your kavana. It's that be careful that you don't actually trap it fully. That's what it means. It's a leave some space for it to get out. Rashi says, "Shalo yichasena kula." You shouldn't cover it fully. El dinishbach ravacha sheyochlo letzeis. Give them some space so that they can get out. And there, then kihei chidelo letzeis. So they're not going to b'haikisoy meila. Dafagadu makavim mitzad aser. Right? He says that they have to be careful that they don't they're able to get out, because even if it's not your intention, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be aser. But he says also that you need to make sure that you had the kavana to eat it from the day before, because then it's not the beehive is not mukta and you're allowed to cover it with the mat. Okay. So delishba l'ravacha ki heichid lo listen suma meila, says the Gemara, that this will leave over that space so that it will not become trapped on its own. Okay. Ravashi amar mi katani biyamos hachama uimos hachama. Okay. So this is going to be another answer, actually. This this case, which was the question that was Mar Ukva Bar Meishon asked. Rav Ukva from Meishon asked Ravashi, and the Gemara gave two answers. Tosos over here in Ravashi, he deals with, you know, did Rav Ashi respond to this second answer right away? Did Rav Ashi say the first answer? It was the first answer, you know, from the redactors of the Gemara, meaning presumably Rav Ashi and Ravina. Just simply put, this is a second answer to addressing that question. We first said, that even in the winter there's two chalos left, and he had intended to eat those chalos from the day before. So it's not considered mukta. But we have another answer. That Rav Ashi says over here, Rav Ashi Amar, mi katani b'yamos hachama u'b'yamos hagashamim. Did the Mishnah say in the yamos hachama and yamos hagashamim, did it say the winter season and the sun, and the summer season? No, it actually did not. Take a look at it. It says, b'chama mipnei hachama u'b'gashamim b'nei hagashamim. Right, it just says because of the rain, because of the sun. Kitani biyomi Nisan biyomi Tishrei dika chama veika gshamim. Right, in Nisan and in Tishrei, you have sun, you have rain. Right, just because it says in the sun and in the rain doesn't mean that we're talking about the summer and the winter. It could be that this Mishnah was talking about in the summer. Right, it's talking about in the summer, and just there are rainy days and there are sunny days in the summer. So That's what it's talking about. However, yes, it's true. In the winter, when there are only two chalos and they're reserved for the bees, so then maybe you wouldn't be able to put the mat on. Yeah?
Yes. Okay.
Right, so that is a second answer. So b'yomei Tishrei b'dika chama v'ika gashamim v'ika dvash. And then because it's in the Yamos HaChama, so then there's going to be dvash there. Okay. Amr lohu Rav Sheshes puku v'amr leil Rav Yitzchak kvar targma Rav Huna l'shma techa b'vavel. So Rav Sheshes said to somebody, he sent a message, go out and tell Rav Yitzchak that your teaching was already interpreted and reused and applied by Rav Huna in Bavel. Right? Rav Yitzchak, I think, was in Eretz Yisrael. Shmatich de'en clean it. Okay, so it doesn't qualify. I think Rav Yitzchak was Eretz Yisrael, and he wanted to inform Rav Huna that his teaching had become popular. Rashi fills us in and says the teaching we're talking about is de'ein kli nital ela davar nital, right? That you can only take a kli for the purpose of something that you're allowed to move on its own. And we're going to have the rest of the Amud basically is going to be dealing with a corpse. This was very strange to me. The following discussion about a corpse and its muktzah status. But a corpse, right, obviously has no purpose and therefore it is muktzah. And we're going to try to deal with a corpse that is left in the sun. What can you do? You're not allowed to, the corpse is a davar muktzah. It's a davar that's enonital. So to even provide anything to cover it up is a problem. Now, you know, I would have thought that, you know, for something as important as kavod ames, this, you know, that it would take precedence over the derabanan. But muksa, we know, is a very heavy weight Derabana when it comes to Shabbos. It's compared to Deraisa in various regards halachically, when it comes to Suffolk and things like that. And it seems to, on a simple level, outweigh the kavod of the mace. But there are going to be certain dispensations we can try to put in place for the kavod mace as well. So let's take a look at the application of Rav Yitzchak's din. Da amar Rav Huna osin mechitza lemeis b'shvil chai. We can make a mechitza. This mechitza is a wall seemingly protecting from the sun for a mace because of the achai. Because there's a living person who's standing there who would want it, right? Because a living person can have a shade provided for him. So if you have the person doing it for the mace, for the chai, then it can cover the mace as well. Ve'im osin l'chitza l'mace b'shvil mace. However, just for the mace himself, that you cannot provide the b'chitza. So ma'hi. So what's this case that we're talking about? D'amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda v'chein tana shila mari. That they taught mace hamuta b'chama. So if you have a corpse that's lying in the sun, ba'im shnei b'nei adam v'yoshin b'tzido. So we're gonna have an interesting procedure over here. You're gonna have two people coming and sit at his side. Cham lahem. They're going to milmata. They're gonna experience the heat, I guess, from below on the floor or something like that. So this guy can bring a bed and sit on it to protect him from the floor that's underneath him. And this one will also bring a bed and sit on it. Once it gets sunny from on top, they can bring mats, and then they could spread them out over these beds, like I guess these bed posts. So this one now will stand up his bed, v'nishman, and he'll hold back, v'holich lo. And then this one also is going to stand up his bed. Now both of the beds are standing up with the mat under it. And what ended up happening here from this situation is that there, how about that? A mechitza ended up on its own. It came about by itself. So what we did here, just want to see like what Rashi helps us. So basically what we're trying to do here is, first of all, provide shade for the living people first, and so that they experience the heat from below and from above, and then they're setting it up for themselves. And then also we don't want to make an ohel. However, this is going to be more really of a derabanan of an ohel, because when you put up the thing on top first and put things under it, that's only asur midirabanan, and we're makel in this situation for the mace. So this what was created from the situation, we avoided the one problem regarding ohel by having it up and then having things be stood up under it. So that's one thing we avoided. But relevant to our topic at hand and Rav Yitzchak's din is that we also avoided just bringing the shade over the mace in the first place, right? This whole discussion is only because we couldn't bring the shade over the mace on its own. That's a manifestation, says Rav Sheshes, of Rav Yitzchak's din being applied even in Bavel. Okay. Rav Yehuda Amar, right, no, sorry, Itmar. It was stated, Meis mut b'chama, so more dinim regarding a corpse that's left in the sun. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda says, that Shmuel says, Hofcho memita lemita, that you turn him over from one bed to another. That if the mace is presumably lying on a bed, from one bed to the other, and over and over until you roll them into the shade. It's kind of crazy to think about this. Like we're doing this to a corpse, rolling the corpse from bed to bed, but we're trying to touch it indirectly. It's going to be called what we refer to as tiltum in a tzad, indirect indirect moving. Tiltal is the isser of muktzah, of which means to move or to handle. So it's tiltal, and minatsad means from the side indirectly. So that's what he says. And Rav Chanina bar Shlamya mishmei derav amar maniach alav kikar otino kumataltolo, that you can place a loaf of bread or a baby on it, on the mace, and move it, because now the mace is what?
Nothing.
Sorry. Yeah. Now the mace is holding, is no longer a muksa object. Rather, it is an object that is holding a baby or a loaf of bread. We referenced this before. If you remember on Daf Lamed, when Shlomo Melech says that a dead lion or a living dog is better than a dead lion, right? And then we speaks about like David HaMelech, that when his corpse is lying in the sun, they asked the Rav the Shaila, they asked the Chacham the Shaila, and they said you could put a baby or a loaf of bread. So we've seen this before. This is the halacha, as the halacha is written. I don't know why in particular it chooses a baby or a piece of bread. I wonder if there's some deeper discussion about that. But these are just objects that, clearly have value, but other things would work. In general, we can't do this thing for muktzah. We can't usually use muktzah items like this, but I think this is a kula that's applied, particularly for a cover of the mace, without completely uprooting, the halachos of muktzah. So these are two, ways to deal with the situation. So maniach alav kikar otinok umatatzlo. So now the Gemara says, hecha de'ika kikar otinok, kuli amalo pligi. So everybody agrees that the kikar otinok thing works, right? We have this, right? We quoted Shmuel, who says that you should do the tiltal min atzad, the rolling thing, and from bed to bed. And we have Rav, who said that you should put a kikar otinok there. So now the Gemara says, no, everybody holds that. Everybody holds that Rav's answer works. Kuli amalo pligi nishari. Ki pligi, when do they argue? Delay slay. When there isn't a kikar tinok available, you don't have anything available to use to turn the corpse into a holder for. So marsavar tiltum and atzad shmei tiltul. So the one master holds, particular Rav, that tiltum and atzad is called tiltul. Just because you did it from the tzad doesn't make it not tiltul, and it's still forbidden. Umar samar lo shmei tiltul. It's not called tiltul. That's what Shmuel says, that tiltum and atzad is acceptable. Alema katanai. So maybe this machlokas Rav and Shmuel about the status of tiltum and atzad is actually a machlokas tanaim of the following Mishnah. Ein matzilin es hames mipnei hadleika. We do not save a corpse from a fire. If there is a fire about to burn a corpse, we do not save it. Rav Yehuda ben Lakish. Rav Yehuda ben Lakish says, Shmati, I heard shematzilin es hames mipnei hadleika, that you do. So hechi dami. So what's this case talking about? Ida ika kikar otinok, my time at the Tanakama. Idaleika, my time at the Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. El alav betiltum and atzad pliki. Right. So right, it must be we're talking about where there is a tinok or. So it must be that we're talking about the case of tiltum and atzad. That's the question, because really everybody agrees that a tinok or kikar would be fine. So what the machlokas is really, right? So there's no kikar tinok available, and it's a question of tiltum and atzad. Is tiltum and atzad acceptable or not? We have these two tanaic opinions. El belav tiltum and atzad pligi demar savar tiltum and atzad shmei tiltul mar savar lo shmei tiltul lo. No, really, everybody who holds a tiltum and atzad is considered tiltul. So, right, everybody would hold like that. Everyone would hold Rav Shita. V'hainu taima Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. And the following is the reason for Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Right? Remember, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says, Shemati that shematzilin, that you do save it. So, if Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish holds that tiltum and atzad is usur, Right, so why would he be makel over here? So the following reason. Divitoksha adam bahul almeso, because a person gets worked up over his departed, ilosha risale asui lechavuye. If you don't permit it, he'll come to extinguish and be over in Isser D'Oraisa. That generally we don't assume such a thing, that a person will do something. When it comes to a person saving the corpse of a beloved family member, and the corpse is going to be burnt in fire. What a disgrace! That would be terrible. So someone might lose themselves and actually put out the fire in violating Isser D'Oraisa on Shabbos. So in order to avoid that, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish was makel. However, in general, you would not do that. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Shila, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish b'meis. That the halacha is in accordance with the Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish regarding the mace, which would seem to be saying that's a special kula when it comes to a fire and a mace. However, in general, tilton matzad would be usser. There's actually a chilek whether the tiltum and atzad is for the davar usser or the davar mutter. Right over here, we're talking about tiltum and atzad for davar usser. Right, you're trying to benefit the davar usser. However, what if it's tiltum and atzad for davar mutter, that an object, a non muksa object that you're trying to help, trying to take care of, is on a muksa object? So like I don't know. Blanking, but a cookie, right? A cookie is on a phone. Can you do tiltum and atzad and to move the phone so the cookie, ends up somewhere else? You don't care about the phone. You care about the cookie. So then that there's going to be more room to be makel over there. La halacha. Okay, I was going to take it to the next mishnah, but I think we're a little over, so we'll call it here.